In Exodus chapter 3, we're going to look at several verses this morning. I usually would have you stand, but we're going to keep our seats this morning, and we're going to go through this story this morning, and I pray that we would find ourselves in the middle of this, and we'd realize that God has an answer to our insecurities, all right? So just to bring us up to date, Moses was described in the Bible as the meekest man of all the earth. Not a weak man, but a meek man. He's humble, he's lowly. He's born in a time of hardships for God's people. The children of Israel had flourished and grown into the midst of a great multitude in Egypt. And the king of Egypt, fearing lest that they would join the enemies, put them under hard bondage and made a decree that all the women should cast their male children into the river. But you know that Moses' mother, Jochebed, hid him for 3 months. When she felt that she could no longer hide him, she made an ark of bulrushes and put slime or pitch and a waterproofing on the outside of that little ark and placed him in the river. And his sister stood afar off to see what would happen to him. In the divine providence of God, Pharaoh's daughter comes down and hears baby Moses crying, and she fetches him from the water and has compassion on him and takes him to the palace where he's raised, eating the best food, meeting the who's who of society, getting all the education of Egypt. Years pass and Moses has grown. He sees that the Egyptian is smiting one of his Hebrew brothers. If you've read your Bible, you know that he looks to the left and he looks to the right and he sees no man and he slays that Egyptian and he hides him in the sand. Then he goes out the next day seeing two Hebrew brothers fight and he goes to break them up and they say, "Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian?" And the thing was known and he was afraid of his life. And he flees and he goes to Midian and soon becomes a shepherd for Jethro. He marries his daughter and spends the next 40 years tending to the sheep on the backside of the desert. At 80 years old, God appears to him at a time when many of us would say, "You know what? That's the sunset years. I'm done. We're gonna coast into the harbor and everything's going to be done." But God had a different plan for Moses. And he came to him and he spoke to him from the burning bush. And I want us to realize this morning that God didn't speak to Moses until he had his attention. He had seen a bush and he had seen fire, but he had never seen a bush that burned with fire and was not consumed. But that's what he saw that day. And I want us to realize this morning that God spoke to him away from the hustle and bustle of life. I know that many of us are busy, and I am a busy-minded person. There is something going on in my life all the time with ministry, or I'm doing something around the house. There is very little time that I find myself idle. As a matter of fact, it's usually when I'm sick. And you can tell that I'm sick when I don't leave the bed, because there's always something to do. And we're busy, busy, busy all the time. We've got our phones, we've got our TVs, we've got our jobs, we've got our ministries, we've got our hobbies. And it seems that we never have time just to get alone with God. But God came to Moses on the backside of the desert, and he spoke to him when he was by himself and away from the hustle and bustle of life. Now, I don't know about you. I love being around people, and that's a good thing. If you're going to be in ministry, you better love being around people. We love having folks to our house. We had 30-something folks to our house just this past week for a Bible study. Had a bunch of youth there. We had dinner. It was awesome. I love it. We have family get-togethers. Our house is the host house for Easter and for Christmas. And we usually have a house full of people, and I love it. I love being around church people. I love fellowshipping with friends. But there's nothing like just getting alone with God. And we've got to have that time carved aside where we spend time with the Lord. And I don't know when your time is to read the Word of God, but for me, it's early in the morning before everybody's up at my house, and I drink a cup of coffee, and I get in the Word, because I'm so easily distracted, I have to get alone with God in order to hear His voice. And we see that God spoke to Moses when he was away from the hustle and bustle, and he was alone. And also, we see that he is in awe. He looks at this burning bush, and he's in awe. Why is the bush burning, and it's not consumed? And the Bible says that God didn't speak to him until he turned aside to see it. He was in awe of what he saw. And I pray that maybe God will give you a fresh perspective this morning when you look at the Lord, that you'll be in awe of who he is, that he is the creator God that spoke the world into existence and breathed the breath of life into man, and he flung the stars off his fingertips, yet he has a plan for you. Out of the 8 billion plus people that are alive across the face of the planet, he intimately knows who you are. He knows your background. He knows your abilities. He knows the hopes and dreams that you have in your heart, and yet he has a plan and a purpose for you. If that doesn't put you in awe, I don't know what does. That God would care for you. Try to call up the president today, see if you can get a meeting with him. You can't get a meeting with him. Call our governor today, see if you can get a meeting with the governor. It's not going to happen. But instantly, from the prayer of our heart, we can get a hold of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That ought to put us in awe this morning. That he's good and that he loves us. And hearing these little kids sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But even on the other side of that, how he loves me. That ought to put us in awe this morning that God would love us and care for us. And we see that God speaks to Moses. Let's read down in Exodus chapter 3 and let's catch up on these verses. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Isn't it amazing what God's presence does? This is a desert setting that suddenly becomes holy ground because God's presence is there. And I'm thankful that God's presence can flood our car and our car can become holy ground. And you can come to this altar this morning and God's presence flood your heart and this altar can become holy ground. Or you can be out in the middle of the woods on a hike and you can experience holy ground because God's presence is there. And God comes to Moses and says, this is holy ground. Verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And I believe up to this point, Moses was like, Amen, God. I am so glad that you have seen the affliction of your people. I am so glad that you're going to lead them to a good place. Lord, that is awesome. I'm excited about that. But then we come to verse 10, and I think that Moses probably swallowed his own heart right here. He said, Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I think that maybe Moses' palms started to get sweaty. I think that his heart probably started to pound out of his chest. Maybe he started scratching the side of his head and he said, God, I've never had hearing problems before, but did I hear you correctly? Lord, do you see the affliction of your people? You're going to lead them to a good place. And God, you want to send me? God, do you know who I am? Are you sure? Look at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I want us to see several things from this passage of Scripture and this dialogue that Moses has with God. First of all, I want us to see this morning that our insecurity questions God's choice. It questions God's choice. Moses looked at God. He looked at this burning bush experience. He heard about the plan of God and the purposes of God. And he was excited about everything that was going on until God mentioned that he was going to be in on it. Moses realized that the place that God had called him to was way bigger than he could ever imagine. God, are you sure that you want to send me? He questions God's choice. God may call you to do something that you would question God's choice. God may ask you to be a deacon of this church. God may ask you to be a Sunday school teacher. God may ask you to be involved in a vacation Bible school. And the pastor may come to you and say, Would you do this for me? And there may be a thought in your heart, Me? Out of all these people that are sitting here this morning, why would you want me to help with the choir? Why would you want me to sing a song? Why would you want me to take up the offering? Are you sure you want me to do it? Maybe that's been a thought in your heart this morning. Me? Are you sure? There's plenty of other people that could do this. And no doubt in the heart of Moses, he looked and he said, God, there's hundreds of thousands of Hebrew people that are already in Egypt. I'm on the backside of the desert over here in Midian. Are you sure that you want to send me? You know, that's what our insecurity does in our heart. We question God's choice because we feel like, who am I that I should go and do this for God? And he asked God, are you sure? Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? But you know what? God has an answer to Moses' insecurity. Look at verse 12. And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee. Words of comfort that should have come to Moses' heart of, God, who am I that you're going to send me to Egypt? But God says to Moses, I will be with you every step of the way. I'm thankful for the promises of God that He said that He would never leave us and He would never forsake us. And whatever He calls us to do, whether we feel like the task is small or maybe in the instance of Moses, we feel like that is way bigger than us, God says every step of the way, don't question my choice. I have come to you. I have come to you personally, and I'm going to walk with you every step of the way. That nervousness, that anxiety, that insecurity that Moses should have felt, he should have just said, oh man, God, if you'll go with me, there's no limit to what you can do. God, if you're my partner, then let's forge ahead. Let's go. I know this is uncertain. I know it's a large task. I know it's way bigger than me, and it scares me to death. But God, if you're going to be with me, I'll do it. Because He's got a great partner in this. And God says, I'm going to go with you every step of the way. I know that these words were not penned yet in the Word of God, but maybe God was thinking about the words that He would pen one day out of 2 Corinthians 4:7, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Moses, I'm going to walk with you. It's not about you anyway. It's going to be about me and my presence with you. Maybe he was thinking about the time when he was going to change Paul's life, and these words came to mind, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Moses, I'm going to send you. And though all the Hebrew brothers may have overlooked you, in my divine plan I've selected you. I know who you are, I know where you're at, and I know where you're going. I will walk with you every step of the way. So Moses' first insecure thing that he has is he questions God's choice. Let's read on down to the next couple verses. I want to see that insecurity imagines unanswered questions. Let's read on down, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses looked at this situation. God's already promised his presence, and now his insecure mind says, well, what if they ask me something and I don't know the answer to it? If you've ever taught a class, if you've ever led something, if you've ever preached a sermon, if you've ever witnessed to someone, in the back of your mind is that fear. What if they ask me something that I don't know the answer to? Can I remind you this morning? It's okay. If you don't have all the answers, it's okay. If I waited to preach the Word of God until I had all the answers, I would never preach the Word of God. If I waited to teach a class until I had all the answers, I would never teach a class. If I waited to witness to someone until I knew all the answers, I would never witness to anyone. Sometimes it's not the things that I don't understand that bother me, it's the things that I do understand. And I realize that I have a responsibility before God, although I can't take it all in yet. I'm walking day by day in faith, looking to Him, realizing that if there is a question that is given that I don't have the answer to, then it is my responsibility to dig into the Word of God and try to find an answer. And I know that's a troubling thing for us because in our insecurity, we think, they're going to ask something and I'm going to look foolish because I don't know all the answers. You know, we live in a digital age where literally any question could be answered in a matter of seconds. We could ask Siri on our phone this morning anything. Who won the game yesterday? Who was the president in 1812? And it's going to give us an answer immediately. And we feel like we have to live up to that standard of being a walking encyclopedia and a Bible commentary so that we know every answer to every question. But truth be told this morning, it's not going to happen. It's just not. It's not going to happen. But our insecurity imagines unanswered questions. And our insecurity is probably just as fast as the speed of light. Because we think about a circumstance and then pew, our insecurity is 100 miles down the road. Imagining unanswered questions. But you know what? God has a response to this insecurity as well. Let's look on down. Verse 14, and God said unto Moses, this is the name that you need to tell them, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. His name that he was speaking of is both an announcement and an introduction. He said, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of promise. I am the God of performance. For each of these men that I've ever mentioned before you, I've never left him, and I've walked with him every step of the way. God, you gave the answer to Moses, I will be with you, and I will perform all that I have said I will do. I am the self-existent one. Moses, you don't have to have all the answers. I will be with you in that moment. And he'll teach him what he needs to say. So the first thing I want us to see this morning is that our insecurity questions God's choice. Our insecurity imagines unanswered questions. But then I want us to see that our insecurity makes up realities in spite of promises presented. Okay, let's see this. Let's read on down in verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and all the Ites, into a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at verse 18. This is a promise. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in the house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Okay? Now look at chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, have you ever stopped and questioned yourself, like, what would it be like to be God in this instance? Can you imagine they're having this dialogue? God, are you sure me? Yes, I'm sure you. My presence is going to go with you. What about the unanswered questions? Well, I'm going to be with you. I'm the self-existence one. I have been faithful through all the generations, and I'm going to be with you. It's a done deed in my mind. They will hearken to your voice. You'll serve God on this mountain. You're going to have raiment and clothing and silver and gold from the Egyptians, and you're going to come into this land, and you're not going to go empty. And Moses looks, and he says, but they won't believe me. I'm thankful that the Bible doesn't say, and God had a 2x4 in his hand and struck Moses on the head, because he sounds just like a Baptist. Moses, go. It's a done deed. I've already seen down the road in time. You're going to serve God on this mountain. They will hearken to your voice. You're going to go out with great treasure. Just go do it, Moses. They won't believe me. They won't hearken to my voice. You know what our insecurity does? God gives a promise, a clear promise. It wasn't vague. It wasn't ambiguous. He said, you'll serve God on this mountain. My presence is going to go with you. They will hearken to you. You're going to come out with great treasure. But insecurity makes up realities in spite of promises presented. I don't know how much clearer it can get. I don't know what other character in the Word of God that we can identify with, that God gives us promises. He promises his presence. He promises all these wonderful things and taking us to a good land. And we still look and we scratch our head and we're like, I just don't know. Our insecurities makes up realities in spite of promises presented. And God has patience with Moses. And he doesn't beat him over the head with a 2x4. Although it might have been justified in this circumstance. And we find ourselves in the same place. God promises things to us, and we look and we're like, I just don't know. It's that insecure heart that overrules our minds sometimes. And instead of us just walking in faith in the promises that God gives us, our insecurity is like, hold up just a minute. But what does God say? Because see, God has an answer to this insecurity as well. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said in verse 3, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Now, I don't know about you, these are funny verses in the Word of God to me. I don't like snakes. I know that everybody in here has probably got a snake story, but this just strikes me as funny. Here he is, he's standing before God, throw your staff on the ground, and he does, and then he runs away. That's awesome. I think that's hilarious. Okay, verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And that was an act of faith too, because I don't know about you, I don't believe in any good snakes. The best snake is a dead snake. And now he had to grab this one by the tail. Okay, and he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, if they will not hearken, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. God's answer to Moses' insecurity was this: I'll put my power on everything around you, and I'll give you the proof. He's made up a reality in spite of promises presented. And God took what was familiar in his hand, and he said, I'm going to let my power rest on what's familiar to you. This staff that he was carrying, no doubt it was probably the staff that he had carried for 40-something years across the backside of the desert. He knew every bump, he knew every knot, he knew every scrape on this rod. And God said, I'm going to take what is familiar to you, and I'm going to let my power rest on it, that it will be a proof to you and the people that I have visited you, that I have a plan and a purpose, and that I'm leading you to a good place. Isn't it amazing that God always takes what's in our hand, and he does the extraordinary? If you need to feed 5,000, you don't have to go to the local Publix. You don't have to go to the Sam's Club or the Costco. He said, I'm going to take what's in your hand, and I'm going to let my power rest on it so that we can meet the need of the multitude. If you're Samson and you need to fight 1,000 Philistines, you don't have to go to the armory and get a spear or a sword. He said, the donkey of that jawbone that's laying right beside you, I'm going to let my power rest on it, and it's going to be okay. Hey, David, you're going down to face the giant. You don't have to go get anything crazy. Don't wear the armor of Saul, but I'll let my power rest on your sling and your rock, and I'll accomplish a great feat that day because I'm going to let my power rest on what's familiar to you so it's a proof to everybody around you. So God turned something that was familiar to him and let his power rest on it. See, it was an ordinary staff, but God's power rested on it. It became a snake. It was a regular hand, but God's power rested on it. He put it in his bosom, and he took it out, and it was leprous. And he put it back in, and it was regular. It was regular water, and he poured it out, and it became blood. Why? Because God's power was going to rest on everything around them. What a reminder to us that it's not about us. It's about God's power resting on us so that when something extraordinary happens that we realize and we're wise enough to know that it's not about us, it's about God's power in us and through us. Because at the end of the day, we are just a vessel in the hands of Almighty God for him to accomplish his work in this time. And if that doesn't put awe in your heart, I pray that it would this morning. That out of all the things that God could use, he chose to use you and he chose to use me. And he's going to let his power rest on us so that when we sing a song, it's not just a song, it's an anointed song. And when you teach a lesson, it's not just a lesson, it's an anointed lesson because God's power is on it and he's used it to speak to the hearts of the people. When you preach a message, it's not just a message, it's about God's power resting in the message that he can speak to the hearts of the people that are listening. Because at the end of the day, it's not about us, it's about God's power on us and through us to accomplish his work. But our insecurities imagines realities in spite of promises presented. And God said, I'll let my power rest on you. But then we see that we find another instance where we just identify with Moses. Because our insecurity predicts a poor performance. Look at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since, but thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You know what our insecurities does? It says, well, I'll sing, but it won't be good. Our insecurity says, well, I'll play a song, but I'll probably mess the notes up. I'll teach a lesson, but it might be short, and I might breeze through everything in just a couple minutes. I'll witness, but I'll just probably fumble all over myself. I may misquote something, and it just won't be good. Is that not where we're at? Is that not what we tell ourselves? Hey, the pastor comes to you, will you help with Bible school? Oh, are you sure me? What if they ask me something I don't know the answer to? Well then, I just don't know. It won't be good if I do it. We're so down on ourselves sometimes. Do we realize this morning that God is not expecting perfection? He's not, because he knows our frame. He knows that we're just dust. But what he is looking for is just effort, just to try. And see, our insecurity predicts poor performance. Moses says, I can't even talk. And imagine, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt here. He's been on the backside of the desert for 40 years. You know how many people he's probably talked to? Very few. Maybe his wife a handful of times, his children. Maybe he's had conversations with the sheep out there. I realize he's not talked to somebody in a long time. And if we don't use the gifts that God gives us, they get rusty. The Bible says in the book of Acts that he was a man learned in all the wisdom of Egypt and was mighty in words and deeds. It's funny that God had a perspective of him that said, you are mighty in words and deeds. But when he looked at himself, he said, I can't even talk. I just can't do it. And that's what our insecurity does. It predicts a poor performance. But God's not expecting perfection. Nothing's going to be perfect. I sing sometimes at our church. I realize I'm not the best musician. I'm not the best singer. There's been times I went to sing a choir song one day and started it in the wrong key. And the choir director went and grabbed a microphone and started singing. And I thought, thank you, God. It's not going to be perfect. There's been times that I've said things and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And then there's been other times that I get in the car and my mind is slower than my mouth is. And I get in the car and I'm like, I should have said that. Nothing's going to be perfect. God is just looking for people that would have enough faith to take the initial step and say, God, it may not be good, but I'm going to try. And God, if you'd let your power rest on it, I'm going to do my best for you. I've got two kids this morning. I thank God for the kids that God's blessed me with, Ava and Nolan. And I've heard, and if you're a parent, you've probably heard this statement before, go clean your room. I can't. Oh, man. It's like we ask him to do like nuclear fission or something. It's like, I just can't do it. But you know what? As a parent, all that I'm looking for is just some effort. And I believe that God in heaven sometimes is looking at us and he has a plan and he has a purpose and his presence is going to go with us. And he's leading us to a good place. In our insecurity, we're like, it won't be good if I do it. And all he's looking for from us is just a heart that says, God, there's all kinds of other people that you could have chosen. But I'm gonna step out in faith, and it may be a mess, but I'm gonna do it. And God, I want you to just use me. And I believe that's all God's looking for. And I pray that we would realize this morning that experience is the best teacher. It's the best teacher. My dad does masonry work. He has for 40-something years, and I grew up helping him. And did you know I watched him lay those brick, and I carried those brick, and I made the mortar, and I knew exactly how it needed to be done. I knew exactly what it needed to look like. But until I took that trowel in this hand and did it for myself, I never learned to lay brick. Because experience is the best teacher. And all of us are going to have to get off the pews and out of our insecurity. And we're going to have to say, you know what? It may not be perfect. It just might not. But I'm going to try. Because that's what God's looking for. Look at God's response to Moses' insecurity right here. Verse 11, chapter 4. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind, have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Isn't it funny that Moses looked at God and said, I can't speak. And God didn't reach through that burning bush and give him a hug and say, you know what? You're right. I don't know what I was thinking. I had this grand plan. I had all these wonderful things that I was going to do through you and in you and in the people of Israel. You're right, Moses. No. God looks at Moses and said, who made you? Do you know who you're talking to? I made your mind. I made your mouth. I made everything around you. Go, and I will be with the source of your insecurities, and I will teach you what you should say. Now, I don't know about you. The first time that I do something, it's intimidating. It is, because I don't know how to do it. We built a house several years ago. I did all kinds of stuff on our home. I became a YouTube expert on laying tile, doing metal roofs, hanging siding. And if I could have somebody just to teach me how to do it, that gave me the confidence to take the first step. Now, God's already promised to Moses, I'll go with you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. When there's questions that you may not know the answer to, just remember that as I was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm going to be with you. And in spite of what you're thinking, the people are going to listen to you. I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to walk with you every step of the way, and I'm going to teach you what you need to say. God looks at him, and he has a response to his insecurities. Go, and I'll be with you, and I'll teach you what you need to say. Now, at this point, God has listened to every insecure idea that Moses has had. Me? Yes, you. What about the questions? It's okay. Go. I'm going to be with you. But they won't listen. No, Moses, it's as good as done in my mind. Just take the first step. Ah, it's going to be a bad performance. Moses, listen, son. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to guide you every step of the way. Just go. But then we come to the point in the story where God gets angry with Moses. God gets angry? He does. Let's read chapter 4, verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Essentially, he's saying, God, send somebody else. You ever been in a circumstance where you felt like you needed to witness to somebody and you didn't? And then that thought enters your heart, God, would you send somebody else? Maybe God's called you to do something. Maybe there's a person here today that you've been dealing with a call to ministry. And in your heart of hearts, you're really thinking, oh, God, just call somebody. Maybe you've been asked to teach or sing or give or do something beyond your ordinary life here in this church. And you're really just thinking, oh, is there not somebody else? God, Lord, would you send somebody else? God's promised Moses his power, his presence, his person, his plan, his preparation. And in essence, God is looking at Moses, and Moses looks back and he says, you're not enough, God. Well, we don't see that that's what Moses said, but that's essentially what he's saying. God, you've promised you'd go with me. You've promised you'd be with my mouth. You'd promised that the people would listen. You said you would let your power rest on things that were already around me. It's not enough, God. Would you send somebody else? Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. You know what God's response to this insecure thought was? Take a partner. You're still not getting out of what I've called you to do. I'm not going to sit you back on the shelf. I'm not going to say, I understand, Moses, everything I've just called you to stuff is just way too big for you. I'll go get find somebody else. No, he said, I want you to go. If you're scared to go by yourself, then take somebody with you. Because I know Aaron can speak well, and I'll be with your mouth and his mouth, and y'all will go stand before Pharaoh. Take a partner. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what insecurities are going on in your mind. But if you're like me, I'll do good for a couple days, and then that comparison game will start in my mind. And then those insecure thoughts will come in. And I'll think, I can't preach like them. I can't teach like them. I don't have the people skills that they do. I don't have the talents and the abilities. I don't have that job that they have. I don't have the platform that they have. And then we get ourselves in a mess because we're comparing ourselves to everybody else around us. God has an answer to every one of our insecurities, and it's himself. God said that he'd be with us, he'd walk with us, he'd go with us. And we still have a plan and a purpose to fulfill in God's eyes. Take a partner if you're scared to go by yourself. God didn't argue with Moses when he said who he was. God didn't argue with him when he said, who sent me? God didn't argue with Moses when he said, perhaps they won't believe me. He didn't even argue with him when he said his abilities weren't up to par. But God did have a problem when he wanted someone else to fulfill God's purposes that he had for him. Now, one of two things is going to happen this morning. We're going to realize that we're just like everybody else. You know, we're all the same. We all have struggles. We all have insecurities. We're all discouraged sometimes. And we all need a touch of God. We're all the same. I even read a story just this past week about Shaquille O'Neal, great basketball player. There was one of the players from the Philadelphia Eagles that just retired, Mr. Kelsey. And he had posted on his Instagram, and he said, enjoy your family. He said, when I got out of basketball, he said, I lost my family and I found myself sitting in a large home by myself. had all the success and money that anybody could ever ask for, but he lost his family in the midst of that, and he was miserable. You know, we're all the same. We all have moments and times where we question God's choice, we question our own abilities, we question God's purpose, we question God's plan, and God's looking at us, and he's wanting us to realize that he has an answer to every one of our insecurities. So if there's something that God has placed in your heart, this desire to do something for him, and you've been sitting on the sidelines, and you've been wallowing in your insecurities, thinking, if I do it, it won't be good. There's so many other people here that could do that. I want us to realize this morning that God loves us, that he cares for us, that he realizes that we need him. It's a dependent relationship on him. And he's looking for us to just take that baby step of faith and say, God, oh, it's so much bigger than me. Oh, Lord, it makes me nervous. It makes me scared. But God, I'll step out and I'll do what you call me to do. You realize how much Moses messed this whole thing up with just knowing a little bit of the picture? You realize what would happen if God showed us the full picture? It'd scare us to death. We'd go into cardiac arrest if God painted the whole picture of what he wanted to do with us in our lives. But he gives us a little snippet and we're like, oh, that scares me to death already. God said he's going to walk with us. And he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And I pray that if you've been in your head this week, because that's where all the battles happen, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. All that battle takes place right here. And it's a battle that's invisible a lot of times. Because we're so prideful, we don't even voice the insecurities of our own heart. But I pray that God would help us to realize this morning that he's got a plan and a purpose. And he's got a good place he's leading us to. A great place that he's leading us to. And he wants to do things in us and through us that would blow our minds. But we have to be willing to say, God, I just surrender myself to you. Oh, Lord, God, I know my own abilities. I look at this face in the mirror, and God, I realize that I'm just scared sometimes. I want us to realize this morning that if we're doing everything that we do under our own power, we're probably not walking by faith anyways. Because when we realize, I think we're starting to take those steps of faith. Because we realize that without his power and without his presence, we're going to make a mess of it. But he calls us to big, big things.